Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. The church at Thessalonica is an interesting study when it comes to our growth spiritually. Our theme for the year of 2010, the Bible says in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together." Now, I've left that phrase out of it and kind of put the three dots. So built we the wall, for the people had a mind to work. When you and I look at the Thessalonian letter, and you look at that fifth chapter, there are a lot of things in that fifth chapter. I'm going to zero in just a few minutes on one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. But I want to take you back for just a few minutes to the book of Acts chapter number 17. If we go back now, well, maybe back up to Acts 16. In Acts chapter number 16, the Bible says that Paul had a vision. Many of you will remember this as the Macedonian call. That he had a vision, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul immediately began to answer that vision. Do you remember Paul's statement in the New Testament when he said to Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision"? As a matter of fact, he was referring to Acts chapter number 9. But also in Acts chapter 16, he had this vision, come into Macedonia to help us. And he went into Philippi, was the first place. Lydia and her household were converted. They were baptized. The Philippian jailer. He left the city of Philippi and he went to Thessalonica. And there he met with some of the Jews. Now we know that there were at least 10 Jews in Thessalonica because they had a synagogue there. And the Bible says that it was Paul's custom to go into the synagogue, and there he would preach and teach. And so he did that in Thessalonica. But now, these Jews in Thessalonica, they did not like what they were hearing, and they pursued Paul and literally almost chased him out of Thessalonica. But there were some who were converted. Now, you and I then go to the book of Acts chapter number 17, verses 10 and 11. And the Bible says in verse 10 that Paul had gone to Berea. One of the most popular verses that our brethren remember is verse number 11. And the Bible says that these were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures daily where these things were so. Now, if you'll just envision your mind, the book of Acts, and the occasion in which Paul had gone to Philippi, he had gone to Thessalonica, and he had gone to Berea, was sometime around A.D. 37 to A.D. 39. And so he went there, and in the church at Thessalonica, he established a congregation, and he went down to Berea because they were after him. The Jews were after him from Thessalonica. And so in verse 11, the Bible said these Thessalonians, they were not too bright. They didn't search the Scriptures like the folks at Berea. Now, if that were the end of the story, then you and I could say, well, you know, that was unfortunate. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the end of the story. Because 30-something years later, a little less than that perhaps, the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome, and he writes a letter back to Thessalonica. Now, here are some of the things he said. He said, "I remember," and I'm paraphrasing all this out of the first chapter. He said, "I remember, and it's brought to my attention, your labor of love." And he made this statement. He said, "How that the gospel was sounded out from you throughout the world." Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I know that it's the gospel that saves men. That if a man has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures." We know from Romans chapter number 6, The Bible said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we, the dead to sin, live it along with our end? Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with Him. He was buried and resurrected to a new life. Now, my friend, today, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said to the Thessalonians that from you have sounded out throughout the world the gospel or the message of salvation. And that's what men need to hear today. They need to hear the message of salvation. And that if an individual has not obeyed the gospel and been baptized into Christ for the remission of his sin, then he needs to do so immediately. So you and I see this. Paul said to these Thessalonians, I see your labor of love. I see your faith. I see the gospel has been spread as a result of what you are doing. They became so enthusiastic at Thessalonica later on about the gospel of Christ that they had this determination that the Lord was going to come back soon, and they had began, some of them had even quit their jobs. Now go down with me to the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And Paul is giving them some charges right at the end of that first book, that first letter. He is saying to them, pray without ceasing. I'm going to deal with that subject this evening. He was telling them to abstain from the very appearance of evil. He was saying to them, do not quench the Spirit. He is saying to them, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Those were the last few things that he suggests or teaches them in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, beginning at about verse number 16 and going down through verse number 21. Now I want you to back up, and now I'm going to zero in on verse number 14, because he gives them some specific instructions. Not that the others weren't, but he is saying there are four things that you need to understand and you need to do. When you and I go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 14, Paul said, I exhort you, brethren. He is talking to the church at Thessalonica. And he said, I want to encourage. Now, the word exhort means to teach. And he said, I want to teach you, brethren. Now, I want to say this. There are four things that all of us can do. That doesn't mean standing in the pulpit preaching. It doesn't mean being an elder. It doesn't mean being a deacon. It doesn't mean being a song leader. It doesn't mean being a classroom teacher. It doesn't mean waiting on the table. Four things that every one of us can do, and as a result of that, souls are led to Christ. Now let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, notice that he says that you are to warn the unruly. Now, that's an interesting passage of Scripture. The Bible teaches us that there are false prophets among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord which bought them. 2 John, the Bible says, if any man come to you, bring not this doctrine, receive them not of your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that they will come to you, and beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so when you look at that phrase, he said to warn the unruly. Now I want you to look at that for a second. After doing a little bit of research on that passage of Scripture, what he is simply saying is, you at Thessalonica need to admonish the idle. Now you look at this passage of Scripture. Go down to 2 Thessalonians 2. And Paul says that there are some folks there who were idle, who had become busybodies in other men's matters. You know what they had done? They said, the Lord's coming soon. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. They sold all of their goods, and they began to wander around from house to house, and they became busybodies in other men's matters. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon on gossip, but I could, because we need to recognize that people can consume one another with this concept of gossip. Well, now, I don't know, Brother Acuff, if this is true or not, but I want... Listen, if it's true, find out and go to them. And this idea that somebody would be a busybody or be a gossip is completely foreign to the teaching of the New Testament. Well, somebody said, well, now, Brother Acuff, it's true. It doesn't make any difference whether or not, if it is true, it does not give me the right, it doesn't give you the right to go to someone else other than the individual involved and talk about whatever it is they're doing or not doing. Now, they were busybodies. But now I want you to look at this a little more closely. Paul said, I admonish you, or I want you to warn the unruly. You know what the word unruly, it's actually a military term. And the word unruly in a military... Now, Brother Charlie, he'd know about this. You're marching, and what it literally means is that an individual gets out of rank. He gets out of line. He is not marching according to the direction and according to the reality in which he should be marching. And he gets out of line. He gets out of the rank. He falls, gets over to the wayside. And so Paul says, this guy who is not marching in tune, you ought to correct him. You ought to bring him back. You ought to get him back in line. If this fella... Now, we could spend a lot of time on this, of which I'm not going to today, but ladies and gentlemen, there are those individuals who have been led astray by false teachers who need to be brought back in line. And so, therefore, he said to them, I want you to warn the unruly. You bring them back into line. And so it is the responsibility of each one of us to take the Word of God and to help individuals understand what the truth of the matter is. Somebody says, well, Brother Acuff, somebody asked me a question, I don't know the answer. Well, tell them you don't know the answer. But you'll find out. I guarantee you that there's enough of us in this congregation who have enough resources, we'll find the answer if it's a Bible question. Number two. Not only does he say, I want you to warn the unruly, but he said, I want you to comfort the feeble-minded. He said, I want you to comfort. Now, again, I want you to look at the passage. What he is simply saying, and the word comfort, I went back and looked at several meanings of that word as far as the Greek is concerned. I don't know the Greek. I can't even pronounce the Greek term. I can spell it almost easier than I could pronounce it, but it's paramutilotus or something of that nature. And the word para, when you look at the what he is simply saying is that I want you to give counsel and advice to the faint-hearted. There are those who are faint-hearted. There are those who, I'm telling you, it doesn't take but just a little bit for them to become weak. And they are prone to give up. He said, so let me put it to you, ladies and gentlemen, in just one good, plain, simple statement. Help people who are ready to give up, not to give up. Now, we can understand that. That there are those who are prone to become discouraged. If you and I go to the book of Matthew chapter number 13, what do we find out? We find out in Matthew chapter 13, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell. Some fell by the wayside. The birds came and got the seed. Some fell among stony ground. It didn't have much root, and therefore it just sprang up for a little while, and when the sun came out, it died. And then he said, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Ladies and gentlemen, there are individuals who obey the gospel, who become Christians. And the Word of God planted in their hearts does not take root, and they get out of the congregation, they leave the worship assembly, and they go home, and there are those at home or those with whom they work, and all of a sudden what happens? The cares of this world come up and choke it out of their life. Paul said to the Thessalonians, comfort the feeble-minded. I want you to encourage the faint-hearted. You know, when you and I look at that, those individuals, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes encouragement. We have this idea so many times, brethren, that if we can just baptize them, if we can just get them in the baptistry, oh, that's wonderful. That's where it begins. That is the obedience to the gospel of Christ. But that is the time that we need to take that newborn child of God and encourage him. Number three. Number one, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to warn the unruly. Number two, I want you to comfort the feeble-minded. Number three, I want you to support the weak. Now, Paul said, Romans 15, verse number 1, those that are strong ought to support the weak. In Romans 14, verse 1, basically he says the same thing, just uses a little bit different terminology about it. Individuals who are weak spiritually. The Bible says, Larry Acuff, what do you need to do? You need to support the weak. And so when the Bible says, what do we need to do? We need to support the weak. As we associate with those individuals who are part of the body of Jesus Christ who do not know as much as we may know. They haven't had the kind of study that some of us may have had. They haven't had the exposure that some of us may have had. So what do we need to do? We want to take the Scriptures and sit down and support or encourage the weak. Now, number four. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he said, be patient with all men. The Bible says that a part of love is long-suffering. The Bible says God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible teaches us the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. In Galatians 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says that we are to bear one another. Ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. And then he said, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14, there's four things that you and I can do. And there's no walls of a building to keep us from doing. Now, my friend, listen. There is somebody out there who is hurting. There's somebody out there who's got a problem. There's somebody out there that you and I can admonish, support, encourage, and be patient with that could literally change the direction of their life and bring them into Christ Jesus through obedience to the gospel of Christ. Is there anything I can do? Yes. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:14,